says, Almighty God, your word is cast, and what are we doing with a hymn on Thursday? That's because Pastor Mark Smith was on assignment. He's coming this morning, and we have him with us, and we're going to be doing two hymns. Good to see you.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
I'm doing very good. I pretended to be your voice on Tuesday, but it didn't work.
Didn't work, huh?
I started off saying, what a beautiful day it is. But I couldn't get your voice right, so they could figure it out. You didn't say it was a beautiful day today.
I knew you'd have some smart remark to make.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the reference to how intelligent I am.
But it's supposed to be so hot today.
It is?
That's what they say.
Yeah, yesterday hit 100.
Oh, man.
I was listening to Buzz, and he's our weatherman here on KFUO, among many other things. And that's what he was saying, how hot it is. But in light of the fact you were on assignment on Tuesday, so you weren't here. I'm on assignment all next week, so I'm not here at all. And they're going to hear the best of Insight Wednesdays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every day.
That'll be fun.
And then we'll be back the following Monday, and you'll be back on the following Tuesday. But we have to look at two hymns, therefore. The first one is for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, and the second is for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And
Almighty God, your word is cast.
I know. It's out of Matthew 13.
It's the parable of the sower.
The sower who goes out to sow seed, and some is on good ground, bad ground, this kind of thing. I don't know if you know what the reading is for the following Sunday. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but his enemy came and sowed weeds.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
But I was caught on it, and I think I can catch you also.
Oh, I know you'll try.
All righty. In each parable, who is, because Jesus explains both.
Yes.
Who is the one who sows the seed?
Let me think. Let's see. The seed is the word, the gospel. I would think either Jesus or the Holy Spirit.
Right? Well, in God? The first one, it's us when we sow seed.
Okay.
In the second, it is Jesus.
Okay. So I was half right.
Well, no, you were half wrong. No, I'll tell you where. What is the seed in the first one?
The seed is the word.
Okay, and what's the seed in the second one?
I don't know. Gospel? I haven't looked at the second one yet.
I know. You've never read it in
no,
your life?
No, I have, but I can't recall. Isn't it the same thing? Isn't the gospel?
Then he told the crowds, when they asked, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows good seed is the Son of Man.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's the wheat and the tares, right? The second parable is the wheat and the tares.
Right.
Okay. Well, the evil one has sown the evil seed.
I asked you, what's the seed?
Let's see.
Well, let me say what Jesus says.
Okay, go ahead.
I got it wrong.
Go ahead.
The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom.
The field is the world, yeah. I buy that, right.
Oh, and, you don't buy that
no,
the seed is
no,
the
and
children?
What's the second one? And the children of the kingdom is the...
Seed.
Is the seed, okay.
Yeah.
And then the tares, or the weeds, an evil one has done this, he says.
That's right, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one.
Yeah, okay, right. Right.
So I never realized there was that difference between the two parables, particularly since they're in the same chapter.
Yeah, right.
In the first parable, we're the sower,
yeah,
and the seed is the word of God. In the second parable, Jesus is the sower, and the children of Jesus are the seed, and the children of the devil are the weeds.
Yeah.
Never realized that before.
I always remember the first one.
Because, yeah, the first one's
because
easy.
Because that's the theme of Concordia University in Seward. The seed is the word. That's
Really?
That's on their seal.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a beautiful, beautiful logo, yes.
And so the first hymn is dealing with the first one where the seed was put on the path, then it was put on rocky ground.
Rocky ground.
And then they were put on thorny
among
ground.
Among thorns.
And then finally, good soil.
Right.
And then Jesus describes each one of those, which is really pretty good.
Just pretty good.
Well, because you would
just
never have...
Good.
No, you would never have guessed it without Jesus explaining it. Parables are really hard.
Oh, boy, they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So without further ado, we're going to read, or you'll start off with, Almighty God, your word is cast, and this is not written by Martin Luther.
No, it isn't.
Yes, good.
No, not at all.
All righty.
Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound.
See, that righteous fruits is really important. It's not talking about good works. It's talking about fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Which is quite different than a good work.
Fruit of faith.
Yes.
Yes.
Motivated by love for Jesus. And so... in this particular hymn, it is, the word is cast. But even in the hymn, it doesn't say that God's casting the word. It just says your word is cast. So that could refer to pastors or lay people or parents talking to their children.
But he is still our prophet, priest, and king.
But he's not casting the word.
Well, but he's doing it through us.
No.
Would you agree?
Well,
that's how he carries out his office of prophet today.
But you see, if that were true, see, in the second paragraph, what he is sowing are the righteous children. But in this one, there's a lot of bad stuff that comes up.
You're talking about the second parable.
No, I'm talking about the first parable is where the bad stuff occurs. That's not sowed by Jesus.
No.
No. So we're the sowers. In fact, this is really important. Where is the problem in the first paragraph, in the first parable? Who's the problem?
It's in the soil. It could be called the parable of the soils.
Yes, that's not bad.
Because some is just not good,
yes.
Not good soil.
Because it's not the seed.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
not the word of God.
That's right.
But the soil. Yeah, that's a good point. All righty.
I guess you're right. If Jesus himself were involved in sowing the seed, he wouldn't sow it in bad soil, would he?
What he would sow is what the second parable says, namely, he would be sowing the children of the kingdom.
Right, okay.
Yeah. In other words, there's good seed and bad seed in the second parable.
In the second parable.
But in the first parable...
it's all
only,
good.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. 2, let not the sly satanic foe this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love.
Now, isn't that, doesn't that call to mind the parable? I don't have the parable right in front of me, but isn't it eaten by crows?
Yeah,
some of
the
it?
First one. Yes.
That's kind of the satanic foe that plucks that seed out of our heart.
Yes. Yeah, he says it specifically, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path.
Yeah.
And that's where the birds came and devoured it.
Right, right, right. That's the satanic foe that,
exactly.
that plucks it out of us.
And so that's what stanza 2. Stanza 3.
Let not the world's deceitful cares the rising plant destroy, but let it yield 100-fold the fruits of peace and joy. Can we go back to the second verse just for a moment?
Sure. Now,
give me some examples of how the satanic foe plucks that out of us when the seed is sown.
Oh, real easy in this day and age.
I think people need to be aware of how you can do that.
The way is, for example, the Bible is very clear. Against abortion, homosexuality, etc. And people read the word and reinterpret it so those things are no longer sin.
I was thinking even of when you're listening to a sermon and something distracts you. And it's like that you know, the seed has been sown and you're not listening.
Well, it says when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away.
Uh-huh.
And people who would disagree with what the Bible is saying obviously don't understand it.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I said you have to be at church every Sunday, and you better have a pastor who's been trained in word and sacrament, because he's going to be giving you all kinds of arguments to use against the world, which you're going to face during the week. And if you don't hear those arguments, you'll never figure them out on your own, because the gospel is something revealed. It's not part and parcel of us. This is why we don't allow somebody who just joined the church, even though they may have the catechism memorized, they do not become a Sunday school teacher right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paul says, you know, watch that until they grow in the faith. I mean, don't you recognize even in your own ministry how much better you were 5 years after you were ordained?
Oh, boy. I look at my sermons that I preached the first couple of years.
Oh, really?
Don't you ever do that? I've heard you say yourself that, you know, you think of things that you preached and you think, boy, was I wrong on that one.
Yeah, I was really good at teaching, preaching doctrinal sermons.
Right.
Rather than gospel sermons.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want to know doctrine, you could listen to me, but a lot of times I missed the long gospel part. But I had good teachers. I kept taking courses, Dr. Klan, Dr. Charlemagne, Dr. Preuss, Dr. Bowman, and Wunderlich. Those were the five.
That really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, it's tremendous. That's why I call myself a super plagiarist.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Wunderlich was a member of my congregation.
I did not know that.
Yes, he sure was.
Wow.
He was a member. Now, of course, he's passed on, but...
He was history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what he had done. Yeah,
good professor.
Yes, yeah, so Charlemagne was exegesis, and Bowman and Preuss were systematicians. And then practical. Well, Klein was really practical.
Yes.
Boy, he was just good. I learned a lot from him.
Yes.
Yeah. He's the kind of prof, I always say, there's three kinds of profs. The one, you could read a book and hear everything.
Uh-huh.
The other one, you got to read 1,000 books. But the third prof is you can't find what he's saying in a book yet.
I'll never forget H. Richard Klein. One time I give an answer. I gave an answer in class. I can't give you the exact question. Because that is exactly what we don't want to do.
Yeah, I know. He was pretty blunt. That's exactly what we are. All right, stanza four.
So when the precious seed is sown, life-giving grace bestow, that all whose souls the truth receive, its saving power may know.
So this is really one of the finest hymns that summarizes a parable. You know, a lot of hymns will have 30 or 40 verses there, but this one is specifically set for this parable and does a pretty good job. We never mentioned John Caywood, who died in 1852. He was English.
Yes.
But I don't know anything about him. But obviously, this is also in our old hymnals, too.
Right, right. Same melody and everything.
Yes. Although when we were looking for something on the internet, it was interesting that they had a different melody.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, we don't have time to play the second one we're going to look at. It's called In Holy Conversation. And did you notice who it's by?
Gregory Wismar.
He's my classmate.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
We were in the same class. So,
what kind of guy was he?
He was a seminarian. So
that says a lot.
Well, yeah, that's what he was. Now he's a pastor. And he has a gift in this one. I don't remember singing this too often. Do you?
No, right.
Yes. But now this is the one which is dealing with the second parable where we talked about Jesus and then the seed is the good people or the devil. And let's see how close this is to that. First stanza.
In holy conversation, we speak to God in prayer, and at his invitation, our deepest thoughts we share. We come, his will obeying, as children bringing needs, and to support our praying, his Spirit intercedes.
I believe that that's really on the basis not of the gospel, but on the epistle from Romans chapter 8, because they've got really some good points here.
It deals all about prayer. It's and very the Spirit. Basic.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I love verse 26. And this is what this hymn, I'm sure, is based on. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. That's really important.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever prayer we have, before it reaches the throne of the Father, the Spirit has interceded and made it a perfect prayer.
That's right.
That's how I understand that.
And when we're just numb following a terrible calamity or something like that, we don't know where to begin to pray, the Spirit prays for us.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I tell you, and pastors go through a lot of that every time there's a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had to announce the death to a family member?
Yes. Yeah, I can remember one time.
Yeah.
In particular, yeah.
And the one time I did was I had gone to see the lady as a shut-in, and she wasn't home. But she's always home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called, I think it was one of her family members who I knew had a key, and we found that she had died inside the house.
I see.
And so that was the first time that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, do you normally phone your shut-ins before you go see them?
Sometimes, if they request that,
yeah,
specifically,
right.
But not always.
Yeah. Yeah, neither me. I'll tell you why, is so many of them have who's phoning them. And if they don't recognize it, they don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one lady, and just my phone's...
Well, Pastor Baker, don't answer it.
No. Unfortunately, it didn't say that on there, so... Yeah, I sit in the chair in my front room last night, and there were three phones in front of me because I was expecting calls. And, boy, I was on quite a bit. So isn't this interesting that what Pastor Wismar refers to as prayer is holy conversation?
Yes.
So if somebody asks you, what is prayer, how would you respond?
Holy conversation is good.
Yeah. It's just talking to God.
It's talking to God, right.
That's right.
As dear children go to their dear Father in heaven.
And we can share our deepest thoughts, and that's obeying his will. Just as children bringing needs to support our praying, the Spirit intercedes. I'll read stanza 2. These holy conversations begin in childlike ways. We bring our supplications and words of thanks and praise. With care, our Father listens to every thought expressed, then answers our petitions in ways he knows are best. See, that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have two kinds of prayers. We either pray for something he's promised, or we pray for something he hasn't promised.
And that's when you say, if it be thy will.
That's right. And that's how I was corrected by a woman who phoned the radio years ago and said, you know, Pastor, God always answers yes to your prayer. Because if you're praying for something he promises, he says yes.
Right.
And if you pray and say, but your will be done, he says, yes, it will be done.
Right.
So there's never a no. Now, if you ask for something specifically, like I like a motorcycle and not your will, but my will, then you'll hear a no. But even if you ask,
I've heard it explained different ways.
Really?
Some will say he answers yes, no, or wait.
Yeah.
I've heard that explanation. I think your explanation is better.
No, I'll tell you why. It's because that one you just mentioned is from the point of view of human beings.
Right.
Whereas the one I use now is from God's point of view.
It's always from his. he gives us what's best for us in his own best way.
That's right. And that's why the task of the preacher is to get people to think like God. Because by nature, we don't. I mean, how many times have you said or heard a member say, you know, I prayed a whole bunch and God never listened to me?
Well, that's...
Because they think that the answer no meant that he didn't listen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or that he gave him something better. He answered his prayers in a better way, and they didn't recognize it.
That's right. Well, no, that's always what happens. Even if he gives you what you want, that's the better way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we were talking about on the Sunday school lesson yesterday with issues. Rebecca, remember the servant went to find Rebecca?
Yes. Yeah, said, Eliezer.
Yeah, we think that's who it was. He's never really mentioned, but he seemed to be the chief guy. At any rate, he says, if the woman comes and says, I'll give you a drink and your camels. And I was talking on the radio, and I said, you know, that doesn't always work. When I worked at Lutheran Hospital, where Louise worked, if I had prayed to God, show me who is the person I'm to marry by a nurse coming up to me and saying, I'll buy you a double cheeseburger and a milkshake. And I said, I would still not be married. So Isaac had a little better deal than
that's
I did.
That's right.
He had a promise connected. So it was kind of interesting. Although I love those cheeseburgers and milkshakes.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
That would have. Oh.
If she would have come up, hey, I just happen to have an extra cheeseburger. And a milkshake, too.
And I look and I say, what are you doing next Saturday?
Boy, that would have been a match made in heaven, wouldn't it?
Oh. Not like yours, which was a match made in heaven.
Right.
Yes. And also was mine.
Mine. Yours, too.
Stanza 3. Yeah, we want to eat today.
We want to be able to go home tonight.
That's right. Stanza 3.
As holy conversation in silence or by word, in every situation, through Jesus, we are heard. So let us pray securely, expressing hopes and fears, with confidence that surely our Father ever hears.
That's the important point, that he always is hearing. So there never can be a time when someone can say, I don't think God heard my prayer. Because they're then becoming a theologian of self-glory. And what is a theologian of self-glory? He looks around in his experience to try and figure out if God is with him or not. So if he prays for something and doesn't get it, he jumps to the conclusion that God didn't hear my prayer. So what are they?
I got a question for you.
Go.
Does God hear prayers of unbelievers?
Well, on the one hand,
he knows everything.
The word hear is got double meaning in the Bible.
Right.
Sometimes it just means the ears, hearing sounds.
He knows about it.
But how many times have you said to your child, don't go in the basement while I'm gone? You come home, he's in the basement. You look at him and say, didn't you hear me? When you say that, you're not saying,
right,
did you hear the sound? Yeah. You mean, didn't
just
you
went
obey?
Just in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, so it was an act of disobedience. And
you hear that a lot. I hear that a lot from my wife. Didn't you hear me? You ever hear that, Tom?
No, because I say, what'd you say?
Better hope she's not listening this morning, right?
No, she's listening to let's see, what would it be this morning? Probably, yeah, how to rebuild the garage. She loves looking at those.
Oh, yes.
Guess what? We got them both done, but the time is up. So we're not here at all next week, but the week after we will be. You having any other special assignments in the next few weeks?
No. Yeah,
that's good. Where are you preaching this Sunday, and what are you preaching?
At Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, and I need to settle that today. This will be the first day back, so I need to decide what I'm going to preach on this Sunday.
Yeah,
I got to come up with something fast.
Well, a parable is pretty good.
Yes,
especially in light of the fact how different the two are. Yeah, so you can get them knowing this one, then next week when you ask them a question, they'll all get it wrong. All right, Tom Baker, Mark Smith. Tomorrow, Open Mic Friday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.